It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. There are various treatment options available for people with opioid addiction, but doctors don't always have access to them. There are some medications, for instance, which can't be easily prescribed and must be taken in a clinical setting. And there are mental health and trauma issues that physicians treating pain or addiction might find themselves ill-equipped to address. Dr. Nora Volkov is director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse at the National Institutes of Health, and she wrote a piece for Scientific American called "How Can We Better Support Physicians in Addressing the Opioid Crisis?" Dr. Volkov, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
So give us a sense of what physicians are up against these days when it comes to the opioid crisis.
Well, they are against a significant number of cases for which they actually have not been properly trained to sometimes even detect, and much less treat. And as a result of that, they find themselves not being able to help their patients. So this is one of the big blocks that we're seeing in the healthcare system, that overall for many, many years, physicians have not recognized that addiction is a disease and that part of their responsibility as physicians is to take care of patients who are suffering from this disease. And now that we have the opioid crisis, this has become an urgent need.
So you write in your piece that a recurring theme that you and other addiction researchers keep seeing is this treatment gap. So talk to me more deeply about what this treatment gap is.
Well, in addition to the fact that physicians are not properly trained, there are also impediments in the structure and reimbursement practices of paying for services rendered to individuals suffering from an opioid use disorder. And so the medications that we currently have for treating opioid addiction, which are actually very effective, are not necessarily reimbursed in all conditions. And two, some of these reimbursement plans only allow for one medication but not for the other. And the result is that basically less than 30% of patients that could benefit from these medications are given access to them. And then when they are giving access to them, they are not given access to them for sufficiently enough time to allow them to recover. So that's where we see an enormous gap in terms of numbers of patients that could benefit from these medications, but also in terms of the quality of care that the patient should be given when given these medications and the support systems that are necessary for them to recover.
So do you think that this is a systemic thing, that we need to change the way we approve and pay for medications and treatments?
Absolutely, definitely. Because if you do not get proper reimbursement, then it's much less likely that a patient will get access to the medications. And two, there's no other disease for which basically the insurance says, well, I'm only going to offer you one type of intervention. So if you have a depression, it's not that the physician is going to be reimbursed for just one specific antidepressant or one specific antibiotic. Mm. But in this case, yes. And it's also a situation where we have three different medications, and one of them, methadone, cannot be provided by a physician. It has to be dispensed basically on a methadone clinic. So we have many barriers when it comes to treating individuals suffering from an opioid use disorder.
We've heard a lot about methadone, which doesn't allow people to take the medication on their own time, which may make them not take the medication at all. But many listeners are familiar with a new drug called Narcan. Talk to me about what that's about.
Narcan is actually an old medication that has been used specifically for reversing an overdose. It's an opioid antagonist. So it binds to the receptor that normally would be bound by OxyContin or heroin or morphine, but it displaces it. And an overdose occurs when opioids like heroin or morphine bind to the receptors in the respiratory centers in the brain, inhibiting their function. And what Narcan does is it pushes those drugs out, allowing you to breathe again, allowing those cells in the respiratory center to become active. And that's why it's such an effective medication to prevent someone from dying, because they stop breathing. The issue and the challenge has been to provide this medication very rapidly and at a dose sufficiently high to properly displace the opioids so you can breathe. And what has been new about Narcan was a development of a formulation that allows you to give the medication by inhalation as opposed to injection. That was the innovation behind the new nasal Narcan. And the beauty of it is it's an easy to use. It's user-friendly, what I like to call user-friendly, because you don't need to be trained on how to inject in order to save a life. And any one of us, with or without training, can properly deliver nasal Narcan, and if you do it on time, you can save a life.
And physicians can do this, but that, because the antagonist is a class that they can prescribe, but the other class, which methadone falls into, why can't they prescribe that?
The other medication, they can. There's another medication. There are two other medications. One of them is buprenorphine, which goes by the name of Suboxone. And the other one is naltrexone, which is also an antagonist but very long-lasting and can be used for treatment of opioid addiction. And the extended release formulation, which lasts 1 month, goes by the name of Vivitrol. Buprenorphine, Suboxone, can only be prescribed by physicians that are given, actually go through a training of 8 hours. That's what it's necessary for them to prescribe it. And there are not many physicians that have gone to that training, and this then limits the number of providers that can give this medication, which actually significantly improve the outcomes and also has been shown to prevent overdoses.
We've Zachary from tweeted to us this morning. He says medication-assisted treatment is an important tool with both legal and logistical barriers for docs, but perhaps more importantly, we need wraparound counseling options available for patients 24/7, especially in rural places. Talk to me about how mental health and drug addiction counseling plays into this.
Well, it is clear that in one of the most challenging aspects of treating addiction in general, and certainly opioid addiction, is the associated comorbidity that goes with it. Because when you become addicted, you start to withdraw from your surroundings, you become more isolated, and the drug itself, the opioid, the going up and down, basically makes you vulnerable to depression, anxiety, irritability. And you add that the withdrawal symptoms that emerge when the drug starts to leave your system, that can be an extremely uncomfortable situation. So it is actually quite frequent to see patients that are addicted to opioids to suffer from depression. And one of the aspects that even makes the whole issue of the addiction worse and the crisis is the high comorbidity sometimes with suicidal thinking. So individuals that become addicted to opioids start to lose their will to live, and that, of course, puts them at very, very high risk of dying and not making it. So when we're treating someone, we need to recognize that we are going to have to take care also of these associated mental comorbidities, this distress. Because if you don't do it, the likelihood of the person to sustain their recovery treatment is much harder.
We have to take care of the whole person. Dr. Nora Volkoff is director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse at the National Institutes of Health. Her recent piece for Scientific American is called "How Can We Better Support Physicians in Addressing the Opioid Crisis?" Dr. Volkoff, I wish we had more time to talk about this, but thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up next, we're going to look at stray voltage, what it is, and why farmers are afraid of it. I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.